set on my heart to.
Lord, be with my brother.
I fear's really how precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed.
Brother Robert Turner, Lord be with you, Brother Robert.
Gracious, thank you for allowing me to have time to stand before you. I couldn't wait to get here. I've been seeing the faces that I've seen that over the times that I've been here, and I miss you all. I thought about a lot, and I'll tell y'all something that's rare. I stayed up last night and watched the dog and pony show, or whatever you want to call it, last night, and I got something out of it. And I thought about a lot of things, and they talked about being politically correct. Well, I think it's time for us to be spiritually correct. There's words that we use sometimes that is incorrect. There's one that I use that I've really tried to correct myself when I use it. I don't ever try to say I'm lucky. I try to use the word blessed. And there's another word that I don't like is when you hear people say God has a plan. And I say it's not a plan, it's the will. It will happen. You know, when you say plan, it makes like it's you can change it. But when you say will, it is the will of God, it is there. Let it be said, let it be written, the will of God. So I thought about that a lot, that we need to start using the right language. And we need to do something else that we need to be doing. We need to boldly come through the throne of grace. You know, we're not meek. You know, we have the power invested in us that the world doesn't understand. We have the ability of seeing things that the world don't understand. We have something more gracious, more perfect than the average man can even see and understand, because God has blessed us with the ability to see Jesus for who he is. You know, the world today sometimes questions about who Jesus is. If you don't believe that, turn your TV on Discovery Channel. And they got all kind of rhymes or reasons about who Jesus was. Well, we all know who he is. He's the Son of the living God. Amen. And we understood that. And the Lord has blessed us with that ability. But you know, sometimes I get to thinking about that and trying to figure it out. You know, how can I see something, you know, when I'm not really intelligent, you know? He's blessed me with something that I see that to me is so simple, but you try to explain it to somebody who doesn't see it because God hasn't revealed it to them yet. But yet we want to talk about a Jesus, and they want to talk about a different kind of Jesus, you know? Our Lord and Savior came here for one purpose and one purpose only. And we understood that. But the world doesn't see things the way we see it. Because God blesses in His own time and His own way. You know, I thought about that a lot. And I started talking about it last Sunday at church about David. And David, to me, is a wonderful story. And it will pick you up and really let you understand who we are, because we are like David. David was a ruddy lad who was out in the field minding his own business, tending to the flock. You know, the world says you've got to come unto God or come unto Jesus or come. Well, David was minding his own business in the field, and the Lord came to Samuel and told him, the Lord, I'm calling a man to be king. And I want you to go anoint a son of Jesse. You know, do you think that David was in the field, was thinking about what God was going to do? Did he have a clue what was going on? If you read it, if you go to 1 Samuel, the 16th chapter, that's where it is, and read about David. Samuel went, and the Lord called him and told him to take his horn and his oil and go anoint this son. Now, you know what? The Lord didn't tell Samuel his name. He said, you go. And when you get there, you'll know who it is. You know, that's the way we need to be in our life. When the Lord talks, he doesn't have to sit here and dole it out to us one after another or tell us exactly what we're going to do. He says, you go. You go. And when you get there, you'll know. Well, a lot of times, Brother Ralph, we question if we're going to know or not. Because we think that we're smart. And because God didn't lay it out directly, like step one, step two, step three, step four, I can't go. You know, Brother Gary? I got to have it laid out so I understand, you know. That's not what God's talking about. He said, go. And a lot of times, we got to get up and go. We got to move. We got to be an instrument of God. You know, we can worry ourselves about many things. But when God says go, we need to go. When He says stop, we need to stop. But you know what we need to be doing? And I'm going to show you this a little later. We need to look to Him always. Because that's where we get in trouble. And I'm going to make this short because time is coming to the end here. It's late. I said, but I'm going to tell you. David was in the field. Samuel went to Jesse. And he had all them brothers just to walk by. And he said, not them. He didn't say it's this one, it's that one, it's this one. He said, not them. He said, this all you got? You know? Said, no, I got one little ruddy little boy that we put out there in the back 40 because he's not much good. You know, he's a little rut, little sawed off thing back there. He said, bring him here. Bring him here. And when he came, immediately he knew that this was the one. Immediately. I've said this before. I'll say it till the day I die, I hope. When God calls and God speaks and He talks to you, you know it's of God. You know it's the Word of God. You know it's the truth of God when you hear it. You cannot deny it. What you do with it when you hear it is entirely left up to you. And you can't cry, I didn't know, or I questioned. Samuel got up and went and didn't know who he was going to anoint, but when he walked before him, this was the lad. And he anointed David to be king. Well, y'all know the story. I hope you do. If you don't, we'll get into that. David, what did he do after that? Well, if you look at Samuel, 16th chapter, when Saul took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward, so Samuel rose up and went to Rahab. The Spirit of the Lord was with David. Look at the 14th verse. Important that you read that also. David was anointed king. The Spirit of God was upon him. The 14th verse says, and the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. And the evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. Okay. Wow. Wait a minute. You mean that I could lose something? No, you didn't lose nothing. What you've got is trouble. Trouble. Because the Lord willed this to be so. Now, let's go on further. Y'all know the story of David. I'm not going to go through all David's victories and all David did. But David was anointed to be king of Israel, but he wasn't king. Saul was king. Y'all know what took place. The strife, the envy that Saul had, you know, they'd go out and Saul would kill 1,000 and the people would cry, Saul killed 1,000, David kills 10,000. He doesn't. So there was some envy here. Envy. The evil spirit. We can end up with that envy in us.
Sure.
You know.
Sure.
Well, my gift is not as good as yours, Brother Gary. So I'm envious of you. You know.
Preach the word.
We, you know, we all get that way. And we don't like it when we do that, but we do it. Because we have a battle inside of us always. Just because you are an elder or a preacher or a pastor doesn't take you away from the battle. The battle that we fight is the same battle that you fight. The battle, as I say, of good and evil, or however you want to call it, life or death, however you want to call it. We're in the battle. David, right here, David was anointed king, but yet he wasn't king. He was anointed by God to be king, but he wasn't king. Let's look at when David became king. I'm going kind of fast. If you will read from right on through 2 Samuel, it said, "Then came the tribes of Israel to David. Behold, we are bone and thy flesh." He said, "We're one. You know, we're one. We're one. We're the same bone, the same flesh, you know. You know." And in times past, when Saul was king over us, you know, he said, when Saul was king, you know, we're the same, you know. And they anointed David to be king over Israel. God anointed David some time ago. Now, the elders of the tribe have now anointed David to be king over Israel. What took place from the time that God anointed him till he became actually king? There was a time frame here. You know what? A lot of times in our life, when the Lord touches you, or Jesus touches you, or the Holy Ghost gets hold of you, it don't matter. One of the three, it don't matter. When you're touched of Him, you realize that you have now changed. I think when David was called in and anointed, he was a changed person. He was changed. He didn't think he was going to be king. You know, the Bible says he was a ruddy little lad. But he was in the service of God. He was doing what God had asked of him to do. Y'all know how David stood before Goliath. Y'all know the story. How the king said, "Take my armor." You know, I don't need your armor. You know, I have the anointing of God. You know, that's something that we need to realize. When you start seeing and understanding and feeling God, Jesus, in the true manner of what they are, when you start realizing how weak and pathetic we are and what He did upon the cross of Calvary, then you realize who He is and who you are. David was anointed king of Israel. And the nation was blessed. Well, I will tell you something. When I realized that this country was in trouble, and I hope each and every one of you are doing this, I pray every night that God will send us a man to lead this nation. A God-fearing man to take hold of this nation. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, I pray right now every night that it'll take place. But I'm not worried about it because I know my Father in heaven has the power. I don't know if He's going to send us this man. I don't know, but He can. As long as I'm praying, as long as you're praying, He will. David is now king. The nation is prosperous. And then, if you look at verse 12, 2 Samuel 5, 12. Now listen. David perceived that the Lord had established him king over Israel. You know what? The Lord blessed David to kill Goliath. All the battles that he was in. He saved him from Saul. Everything he'd ever done. But he said now, David perceives that the Lord had established him to be king of it. You know, it wasn't, I'm king now. I'm the greatest now. I'm all of a sudden, you know. David realized now that the Lord established him to be king. It took some time right there. Well, you know what? We need time too. Because you know what? It's not just poured in our head. You know, we have to put some effort into, Jamie, this word. This word is written there for us. You're exactly right. And there's some effort in this word right here. It's not just poured into our heads. You know, we have to sometimes, you know, get up and do a little studying on our own. It's not open for our own interpretation. You're exactly right. But I will tell you right now, if you don't ever read it, you ain't going to get nothing out of it. And if you're going to depend upon a man to tell you what you're going to do, you're going to be like the sheep led to slaughter. You're not looking for a man to explain this to you. What you're looking for is a God in heaven to enlighten you with the truth of these words. And they're really easy to understand. And you know what? And I think, Brother Stan, last weekend you said something that stuck with me. And I carried it home with me. And I think about it all the time when you were talking about Revelations. Because Revelations is a book in the Bible that people will talk about more about. They don't understand, don't know what it is. And when you said, Jesus wins. Don't that make Revelation simple? Huh? I don't know where these scholars can come up with all these schemes they have to talk about revelations. You know, about this is going to take place and that's going to take place. Well, I'm going to tell you right now. This Bible right here tells us one thing and one thing for sure. He's coming back. He's coming back. Not to what the scholars are going to tell to set up a kingdom down here. It ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. We're going up. We're going up to Him. He's not coming down to us. He's lifted us up to Him. David right now realized that now that maybe He's king. You know what? When you come into the church and you sit here and you know what? You put some effort in it and you hear that gospel preached, then you start thinking, well, maybe, Brother Gary, that I might be one of His. Because I have a love for Him. Love your neighbor. You know the first commandment of all? Love God with all your heart, all your soul. You know, sometimes I wonder. Brother Steele, you're exactly right. We question ourselves all the time. Are we doing this in the truth, in the love of our heart, in the spirit that God... You know, David perceived that he's king now. Now his nation had prospered. He was there. You know? But I'm going to tell you right now, Christ told us, you know, trials and tribulations are going to come. David was now king of a powerful nation, built a great, huge city, and the enemy came. In this case, it's the Philistines. And when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines came up to seek him. You know what? Them Philistines must be like us hard-hearted people. David done whipped them 100 times. He killed their big giant, but yet they're gonna come get him. You know, we can't have This David is king. This ruddy lad is king. And the Philistines spread themselves all through the valley. You know, they were all about David. And what did David? He perceived that he was king, but David didn't think he was mighty. Because what did David do? And David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up against the Philistines?" You know what? There's the power right there that you and I have. David knew. He asked God, "What shall I do?" You know? He didn't just go out there and say, "I'm king. I got an army. I'm just going to go out there. I've whipped them before. I've beat them many a time. What's the big deal?" David asked God, "Shall I go up against them again?" You know? That's where we need to be in our life. Every given situation that you have, everything that's about to happen in your life or going to happen in your life, first of all, you need to go to God. Shall I go? You know? There's the direction that we need. I don't need Brother Steele to tell me where to go. I don't need anyone. What I need is God. Shall I go? Shall I go? When He lays it upon your heart, He lays it upon you to move, shall I go? You know? And He said, "Will thou deliver them into my hands? Will you take me out of this situation?" How many times in your life, how many times has God carried you through and brought you out? And then, you know, an Elder Mitz told me this one time, and I'll never forget it. When I first began preaching, you know, I was blessed to be under his tutelage, I guess, a little bit in the way that I was around him. He told me a story one time that he just started preaching. And man, he said he was the best thing for sliced bread. He had this figured out. He said he strutted into that church one Sunday at a big meeting and walked in, and boy, he had it figured out. He said he sat over in the corner when they called him to the stand. When he got to the stand, he couldn't even find his Bible. He said when he'd opened it up, it was upside downwards. He said he couldn't even read a word out of it. And he said what he did was close his Bible and sit down and shut up. You know? That's what we need to remember. Amen. It's not us. It's of God. David went straightly, directly to God and shall I go up? Shall I go? Will thou deliver to my hand? And the Lord said unto David, go up. I doubtless deliver the Philistine in there. He said, I'm going to deliver him in your hands. You do exactly how I tell you. You read the story. He utterly destroyed him. Just as God told him. I'm going to tell you right now. We have an enemy that comes back to us time and time and time again. You know, he can't be bothering you guys. Because he worries me all the time. The enemy that I have. Why you drive? Why you go? What's your problem? Why you can't you stay home? You know? You know? We have the same fight. The Philistines come right at him again. You know? How many times does Satan come knocking on your door? Trying to take away the pleasure and the goodness of what you got. But David inquired of the Lord. He just whipped them. They're in the same spot again. It's the same deal again. Do y'all know the story of Jericho? Sure you do. How the walls came tumbling down. And then Israel, they decided, well, we'll just go up to see the gates ahead. And we'll just take them. And they went, was totally whipped. And then they go back and say, God, what happened? What, you know, he said, because you went. You didn't inquire of me. You know, My point here is, in our life, if you want that happiness and that fulfillment that you've got to include God in your decision making. You've got to go there first. You know, we're reasonably intelligent people, you know, but we forget that God is the leader. He has the wisdom that we lack. He sees us in the South 40 field tending sheep. He knows what we need when we're out there. And when He brings us in to show us that He has fulfilled us in a position that He has set aside for us, the first thing we want to do is go without Him. You know, I got this covered. I understand. You know, I understand how this works. David went again, inquired of the Lord, and said, "Shall I not go up but fetch a compassion?" Wait a minute. They left, and David and the Philistine came up again. David inquired of the Lord, and he said, "Thou shalt not go up." He said, No. You're not going up against them this time. You know, that's not what you're going to do. But fetch and compass behind them and come upon them again against the multitude of against the mulberry trees. And let it be, when thou hearest the sound of the going in the top of the mulberry trees, thou shalt bestir thyself, and thou shalt the Lord God go before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. He said, No, you don't go. You go over there in the mulberry trees. You go over there and you wait over there. And when you see the tops of them trees waving back and forth, when you see that movement there, your eyes are fixed upon the top, then you go, because our God will go before you and destroy your enemy. Keep your eyes focused on the top of the tree. Don't look at the enemy. Don't look about. Focus your eyes upon me. This is where we need to be. We need to focus our eyes upon Him. He's got it covered. He's taken care of everything. He'll lead this country. He'll change this land. He'll do all these things if we take our eyes off stuff and start looking to Him. If you will call upon me, call upon my name, you will be blessed. Keep your eyes focused on Him, not the man, not the building, not whatever. Focus your eyes upon Him. Because I'm telling you, right now, the battle is over. It was won on Calvary's cross. The second, the millisecond, He said, "It's finished."
Amen.
It's done. It's over. There is no more. So what do we need to do? Focus upon Him. Get our eyes upon Him. I worry about our country. I shouldn't. I have a love of this country.
Amen.
I know the Lord has blessed this country. And I know the Lord can continue to bless this country, or He can curse this country. I understand that totally. But I'll tell you right now, I'm going to keep my eyes focused on Him, because Satan cannot send anything to destroy what God has set in place. I may be in the South 40, out in left field, as they say, and I may be totally wrong. But I can tell you right now, I'm like old Paul. I don't know nothing at all. except Jesus Christ, crucified, buried, and on the third day he rose. That's all I need to know. All the rest of that is just junk. But I'm going to focus my eyes upon the tops of them mulberry trees, and I'm going to look to him for everything that comes and goes. Because I know the will of God is truth, mercy, and we have got to focus. And we've got to forget about all these bigotries and all these little things that we carry around with us. And as Brother Jamie or Ralph, I don't remember, I was the Lord's Prayer, forgiving. You know what? That's a big order sometimes. To forgive. I remember reading where Jesus looked at him and said, he without sin cast the first stone. When you start putting yourself in that position in your life, that forgiveness part becomes a little easier. It becomes something that you begin to feel inside. And I'm telling you, when the Lord takes that away, the hatred, bigotry, or whatever you want to call it, from you, your step will just get a little bit lighter. Your load that you carry will be a little bit easier. Remembering that I'm focusing upward, looking up for the movement. You know, no one knows when he's coming back. Although I've seen some TV preachers have got it figured out to the hour and the minute. And matter of fact, if you send me 1995, I can get it a little closer. You know, but I'm telling you, the Word of God here says no one knows. But the will of God is that he will return. So I'm going to keep my eyes focused, looking. Maybe this afternoon when I get home tonight, I don't know. But when he comes, I'm going to come quickly. Because I can get on top of the mountain and fall in the valley with the best of them. Thank you for your kind attention.